Okay, good morning. Well, you know what's so interesting, when I was in Africa, went to Nigeria, and you had to do a lot of signing and stuff on your passport to go to Liberia and to guarantee them that you have the money to get back to your country and do all this stuff. And so it was very difficult. Now, here we are in Greece. And Greece, you got to have all this kind of stuff. And poor baby, just going to have to live here in America now. Can't go back to Greece. After 3 months, you can't go back into America. So how is it you live in the airports? That's what you do. Okay, Katharina, we're glad to have you here this morning again. So, how long is it going to be before you able to go to Greece?
A week.
Week from today, we'll hopefully be at the airport.
All right, okay.
I'll be here a week from today.
All right, well, let's close in prayer, begin with prayer, and then have our time together. Let's go. Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to have the passport to heaven by faith in Jesus Christ. We just go to heaven, and that's it, and that's where we will stand and stay forever. How grateful we are. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, to teach and study the Word of God. We thank you for this morning, coming together to worship together. Pray that, Heavenly Father, glorifying to Christ, in His precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's begin with sing.
Let's join together in song number 462. Would you turn with me, please, to number 462 in the hymnal? This is called Love Lifted Me.
I will sing in deep in sin, far from the peace of shore. Very deeply chained within, singing to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the water lifted me, now saved am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. Nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to Him. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, fill us His will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. Nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me.
This morning's scripture reading is going to be from John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slaves does not know what his master is doing, but I called you friends for all the things I've heard from my Father and have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another.
All right, once again, would you turn to number 66? Hymn 66 in the hymn book is There Is a Name I Love to Hear. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Okay, when I was, young, and we'd seen that kind of stuff, and smart aleck kids who have smart aleck things to say to the director about love lifted me, put me down, and this type of stuff. It was terrible. Okay, let's see. Let's begin with any announcements. Any things to say? Please be in prayer for my wife. She's not doing well at all this morning, so please be in prayer for her. And just be in prayer for each other. Let's see. I guess they'll be back next week. John and I'm in Lauren and
yeah, all those kids are. I mean, their son's getting ready for college.
Yeah,
all of them are all packing or
doing something. Okay. Well, we need to be in prayer, and then we need to pay the bills that need to be taken care of. How are we doing on our speaking?
You mean the internet?
Yeah.
The internet is doing great. We are due to have another system upgrade very soon, so I'm watching out for that.
Good. Very good. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that we can give the gospel around the world, that we can tell others about Jesus Christ, about the Word of God. So there's a combination of things we have, the gospel, but the teaching of the Word of God. Pray that you will continue to use this assembly in that respect. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.
Yes, you're familiar with this one. You probably learned it without any accompanying music. Hymn number
336.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus loves me.
It was a good day.
I just thought it was a good song.
I'm saying kind of is that Kit didn't do it. So it's not done neatly and nicely. It's done roughly. But I just added at the last minute yesterday to go ahead and pass them out that you can go along with it. But don't read everything on there the way that it says it, because it's going to be different. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we love the Word. Chapter 1 has already passed its way. Chapters 2 and 3 are in history now in our life. And Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will cause us to understand the importance of the message to each of the churches. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Okay, I was thinking about title for it. Came up with Churches in Trouble at the Very Beginning. The very beginning. Not later on, 100 years, 200, 300, 400 years. No, immediately. Some went through difficulty. So, let's take a look. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel, angelos. This is a messenger. This is referring to the pastor teachers, the preachers. As the pastor teacher teaches, so goes the assembly, as far as the truth is concerned. And it is his message that is important. He is not important. It's his message that is important. His message listens to it and decide whether you agree or not. I taught for 7 years, for 5 years at the beginning when all this happened, and an entire group of deacons and most of the people agreed with the understanding of the gospel for spirituality, that you had to be filled with the Holy Spirit by faith, not by confession, not by any other works, but by faith, trusting in the one who sent. One of the great problems in the world today is the absence of the power of the Holy Spirit. So many pastor teachers, missionaries, teachers, so forth, because they are not, they're not trusting in the Holy Spirit by the Word of God, by faith. And therein is the great problem. They don't have faith in the Holy Spirit. They may speak some of the truth. I know at Dallas Seminary, be a whole room with a man or men who'd studied and written things. Nothing about the truth, about the Holy Spirit. So we've got to have an understanding of the truth. Where Jesus Christ speaks of twofold, as Jew and Gentile, now one sheepfold, and called one purpose, one group, not a nation, but an individuals called out of the world simple, the world system, called out of sin into Jesus Christ, Jew and Gentile, one in Christ. In the Holy, in the Old Testament, God used a nation, a race, but now God is revealing His love through the church. And this morning, Kit worked on Ruth, Gax, chapter two. And which is the beginning of the church. Now, let's go. In Ephesus, write. This is Jesus Christ speaking to John. To Jesus, to write this off. We noted last lesson that some of them things about Ephesus already. Its industry, port, the Temple of Diana, and industry part of the Roman Empire. That's a very interesting part. This is important as PQR. Start your thinking. Start, so often Roman Empire is viewed as evil, degenerate, and so forth. But it was this nation, the prophecy in it, wealth, peace, travel, all these things was the home, the beginning of the church age. Rome built roads that tied cities. Christianity spread throughout the entire system, because of these roads, cities, and peace in there. Now, next, title of description of Jesus Christ. Title of the one who's speaking. The one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, that's Jesus Christ. The one who walks among the seven golden lampstands says this, referring to Jesus Christ, says this. This description of Jesus Christ, and remember each one is pertinent to circumstances of that local church. Each local church is different in itself in the seven teachers, so churches. The resurrected Christ, who holds securely the seven stars, the seven messengers, pastor teachers, in his right hand, securely, authoritative, and every pastor is under the authority of the Lord, not man, not under the authority of man, not even the authority of the congregation. But what is important here is what follows as very much to the failure of the pastor teacher. It is so important, the pastor teacher you listen to at the church. Now, so we come to commendation as I prefer diagnosis. I know your deeds and your toils and perseverance. That's pretty heavy. That, I love that, that you cannot endure evil men. You put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. And you found them to be false. And you have perseverance have endurance for my name's sake, and have not grown weary with me.
Herman?
Yes.
Definition of apostles.
Okay.
See, Kit would have said that's a market question.
No, I can. It's just it complicates this verse. If I did it. But anyway, an apostle is a person authored by God, and he's over all the churches.
So teacher is a single church, and apostle
is over all the churches. Pastor is over one church.
Got it. Thank
you. The apostle is over many churches. Now, so we have to begin without a very important principle. In fact, it is one of the, not only just important, it is vital to understanding the Bible. We still see two vital principles. That's FC means principle, I'm sorry. That's what it means. But I started that, good grief, before I went to Dallas Seminary. For 1970, that I pray that God will cause me to communicate clearly, and that His spirit will reveal it to you. First, confusion between men. I read it so well, I can sit at my desk and study for hours, no problem at all. But the minute I try to start saying it, it just gets going. So I'm hoping that I'll get better and speaking through this, and that you'll just put up with me in that. But anyway, between the means and the results. As you read these verses. They look very good. The verses will look very good. They look like God desired and that He does. There, these are all overt, the decisions. Seen, but what is not seen is power or the means. Power and the means. And that is what God cares most about. Now, there are many things that characterize Christian life. But just because they are there does not mean they are from God. And this is what is so confusing to so many in this passage. Pastors, teachers, missionaries, they see something and assume it is of God and wonderful and right. But, is what has not placed before God. The truth is not there. To get it, to get the point of the church, we're even close to doing what God wanted them, might be a little reprimand, but look what God is saying. He is going to do, now look at this, verse 5. Remember therefore, from where you have fallen, where to all of that, but He said, you've fallen, and repent, and do the deal you did at the beginning, or else I am going to come to you and remove you. Now I want you to understand something. It's not said to any other church. This is the only one of the seven churches that's given the threat of, I'm going to remove you. Verse 5. This is how far off this assembly is. They talk so greatly, but they're so far off, He will take away, they're out of existence.
Is this the only place in the New Testament?
The only place of these seven churches.
Right, but the only place in the New Testament that God warns the people like God used to warn them in the Old Testament.
The only way. This is the only place it happens.
It's the only place.
Yes. They looked good, but they were not even close to doing what God wanted. This is a point God made in the first book of the Bible, the book of Job. Job was so sure he was doing everything right, but Job wasn't even close. This is common error with so many Christians, and the danger is that this problem can ruin believers' lives. They think they're doing everything God desires. Now, these believers in Ephesus, and they are not even close to what God wants. Things often look good. We saw this in the study of Abraham and Esau. You will recall that Abraham was going to make God's plan work. He was going to make God's plan work. God had promised a male child, and Abraham was going to make it happen. He was going to bring in a male child. So he went to Hagar, and sure enough, Hagar had a male child. And it looked so good. Until you look what God wanted. Until you found and saw Esau. Okay, Isaac. Now, one more point before we get into details. That in his diagnosis of Ephesus, there's not one sin mentioned. How about that? Not one sin mentioned. And even implied. Not even a sin is implied about them. Yet, he is going to take them out. That's pretty heavy. That gets your full attention. Sin's not mentioned, but he's going to remove them from being. Why? Why so drastic as action by Jesus Christ? Because you just can't imagine how difficult it is to get someone who thinks they're doing it right to realize they're not even close. If someone is in sin, that's fine in the sense of being able to see it. You get to relatively understand they're sinful, they're wrong. But if someone is so sure they're doing it right, takes it so much to seeing the truth. All right, let's take a look at this local assembly who looks good. Each letter begins with, I know. Jesus Christ begins every letter, I know. Diagnosis is based on the knowing of Jesus Christ as the head of the church. The knowing Christ, Jesus Christ, is God, and as God, He knows all things. He knows how from His omniscience. Here is the head of the church. Here is the one who knows all these things. Remember, description. The one who walks among the seven golden lampstones. Lampstones, that's Jesus Christ. This is a reference to the fact that He is there. He knows. And so, you can't miss it. He walks in the midst of them in the local church. Your deeds, your toils, perseverance, isn't that all that He wants? And that you cannot endure evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles. And they are not. And you found them to be false. Verse 3. And you have perseverance and have endurance for my name's sake. And have not grown weary. People, this is unbelievable. What pastor would not be proud of this church? Be speaking of it, bragging about it. So wonderful. Now, we now come to our second vital principle. There are words that are in Scripture that are vital to our lives. But the problem is that every one of these words have two meanings. First meaning, according to God, the truth. Second meaning, the same word that is not the truth. Not what the word means, according to God, to the truth of the gospel. Words like faith, love, obey, serve. Pastors use all these words all the time. Many are using love, for an example, not even close to what biblical love is, but it's called. There were words like we have here in this passage, deeds, toil, perseverance, endurance. Now, if I were studying the first of these seven churches, we'd be here for another probably 4 or 5 hours just studying those words.
Okay, the Cowboys aren't playing today.
Okay. Now, many will claim they're saved by faith. But is it the faith that God is looking for? Faith in remember of the Godhead, Jesus Christ. Or faith that if I do my part, then I trust God to do His. Faith that if I invite my heart and Jesus into my heart, if I do all these things, I join the church, I commit all these things, that's how I do it. No, that's not the faith God is looking for. He's looking for faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in the Holy Spirit. Now, obey. What does obey mean? Most, when they see the word obey, they see do and do, law and law, rule and performance. But to God, obedience He is looking for is our faith. Romans chapter 16, verse 26, obedience, that is faith. Then the next word, serve. That's what He wants, serve. Two people can save, use the same word and mean different things. Read Joshua 24, 14 through 19. Now, verse 2 in Revelation chapter 2. I know your deeds. I know of your toil, perseverance, and that you cannot endure evil men. You put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. And you found them to be false. Continuing, and you have perseverance, and have endurance for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. All these wonderful things are so wonderful. But He's getting ready to take them out. Now, sounds wonderful. First, confusion between means and results. Secondly, words, meaning, the meaning of words. Okay, this is what most seminary students are taught. This is what most pastors are taught. Do and do, you're doing these things. Do and do, do and do. Rule on rule, rule on rule. Now, what we do, but that's not what is important. It's the power that is the issue. Flesh versus the Holy Spirit. One person does it in the flesh and does it so well, but in the flesh. Another does it simply in the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship. Workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk to them. Works of love. Told another concept that sounds so good, but again, in itself, is it? This refers to doing, working to the point of exhaustion through difficulties where you grow weary and tired and doing these things. Both are desired, but only in power and leading of the Holy Spirit is it meaningful to God. Then there are those who serve to the point of exhaustion without complaint. Now, principle. I've always been so thankful for the believers of this church, who labor to this point. you work at home, at jobs, 4 to 60 hours, and a week. Then you come home, come here, and do even more at the church. I am aware of this, and I am thankful for every person who does this. Things that need to be done, and do even to get them done. Now, so these things are desired in an assembly. In fact, they must occur for all of these things to occur. That's why we have spiritual gifts. Now, perseverance. They persevere in works, toil. They persevere in learning doctrine. Get ready. They are not distracted. Now, and that you cannot desire evil men plus teachers and teachers who teach false doctrine. That is another important word for many who just apply different definitions to the Greek kakos, to anything they don't like. Okay? They don't like. They are bad, evil, worthless. This is not a member of sins. Or none of us would be here. This refers to someone who is a troublemaker, one who is injurious, who is to the assembly, does harm to momentum of the assembly. Seek out troublemakers, not sinners who will divide, but those who will divide the assembly. Church of Ephesus, of Ephesians, loved doctrine, and that was their drive, and that was their good. That was their problem. This assembly had history record of great Bible teachers. Look at their teachers. Paul, Apollos, Timothy, and John. They know doctrine and aggressively learn doctrine and demand doctrine be taught. Doctrine was their occupation. They judge by it, worship by it, separate on its basis. Do you agree with me or not? If you don't, you're wrong. They made doctrine a fourth God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the doctrine. If this does disturb you, think about it. Biblical truth is designed to take you somewhere, to God, to a pertinent and intimate relationship and fellowship with God. Doctrine is not designed to take you to doctrine, but to God. This is much like Jewish religious leaders. Worship the law, knowing the law, living by the law, keep the law, do the law, then you are right with God. No, you're not. As we will see, this becomes their problem. They worship doctrine. Is doctrine important? Absolutely. It is essential. It is vital that we study Scripture, study the truth. And if you do this in the Holy Spirit, it will take you to love that God is looking for. Church of Emphasis says no love. They have no love. Therefore, we know that while they were aggressive about doctrine, it was not truth. It was not in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you put in the test those who call themselves apostles, you are not. They are not, and you found them faultless. This one is historically important. And we do not have near enough time to even go through it. There is no such thing as an apostolic possession, an apostolic succession. No such thing. But that is a problem that started near end of the first century. There were more movements today, even today, that claim apostolic succession. Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Roman Catholics, so forth. One might ask, what is the big deal about apostolic succession? Authority of apostles who have authority over more than one local church. An apostle has authority over one local church only, but only last of the 12 apostles where they had it over everyone. Now, more diagnosis than now that sounds good. And you have perseverance and endurance for my name's sake. How wonderful is that? How wonderful is that? And have not grown weary. These believers have suffered for their doctrine. And they have, and by the way, Smyrna will suffer. But Smyrna's not in this group. Smyrna will be not even thought about being taken off. Now, these believers have suffered for their doctrine. And they have persevered in demanding doctrine. And have endured a lot of opposition for his name's sake. And they have not grown weary in their allegiance to doctrine, to purity. Now, we come to condemnation. Condemnation. This church looks so good on the outside. Looks like they are doing it right, everything right. But the kind of diagnosis that Jesus Christ gives, you look at an entirely different inside. Think, for an example, vitamins, herbs, good water, but inside, entirely different story. The colon, prostate, uterus, kidney, all these things can be ill. And of importance, the heart and brain, the heart brain. Hidden trouble is in the heart. So dangerous that death may be very close. What is important here is you don't even know that you have a heart problem. You don't even know it. You look good. Best inside, But inside, there's great danger going on. And you don't even know you have a heart problem until the physician tells you. And in this case, the great physician is Jesus Christ, who examines our heart problem. This is the church. This is called the Church of Ephesus. And greater outer diagnosis, but inside, dangerously sick. Very dangerously near death. Verse 4. But, I have this, I, Jesus Christ, have this against you, this church, that you have left your first love. Oh, even been to a doctor, everything is fine. But all of a sudden you look in, he looks at you on the inside, and you look bad. What happens when you have this love and you lose it? You had a good heart, but now you don't. You had good heartbeat, but you don't. What happens? No church is going to make it without spiritual love. In fact, no individual is going to make it without spiritual love. For those who do not think this is all that severe, take a look at verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first. I thought you were doing them all! Now he tells them that you do the ones they were doing at first. Or else, I am coming to you, and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. That's not said to any other of the churches. He's going to take this one out. The Church of Ephesus. Take it out. Now, having this love will destroy your spiritual life. Not having this love will destroy your spiritual life. You have left your first love. What's the first love? How did you have it? How did you lose it? What is this love? How did you get this love? How did you lose it? That right there is about four messages, four Sundays, but we're going to do it now. But don't you think about that. What is the love that you want to get? How did you gain it? How did you lose it? How did you lose this love? Love comes from within. Love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. When you're walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, He pours into your soul this love. Love for Jesus Christ. Love for one another. It's given by the Holy Spirit. So, what happened to this assembly? Chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, you will recall that we have noticed that each title for Jesus Christ is used to describe something about that church. Now, what is important here? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 14. Deuteronomy 23:14. Since the Lord, your God, walks in the midst of your camp, That's what Jesus Christ is doing at this church. To deliver you and to defeat your enemies before you, and therefore your camp must be holy. God the Father walks in your midst. Did he give you the win over your enemies? But you've got to have this holiness. And he must not see anything indecent among you, lest he turn away from you. Now, note two purposes of the describe of Jesus, of the Lord as he walks among them. One, he walked among them to deliver them from their sufferings. That's what he does. Secondly, and to defeat your enemies. He walks among them to deliver them through suffering and to defeat their enemies. And what is important here is that while he does so, see anything major, overly, it is inside the heart considered their offense inside him. Another passage that explains why Jesus Christ is described as the one who walks among them and related their love. Let Leviticus chapter 26, verse 12, I will also walk among you and be your God, and he shall be my people. This is what he wants. For this reason, we should love him. For this reason, we should desire to walk in the Holy Spirit and receive the love toward the one walking among us and who does the diagnosis. That is Jesus Christ. Verse 2, I know your deeds and your toil, perseverance, and you cannot endure evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles and they're not, and you found them to be false. The reason I'm repeating all this, we're not going to study it, but this is what's going on in Church of Ephesus. Verse 3, and you have perseverance and have endurance for my name's sake. We've had three wonderful verses, but then you come to verse 4. But I have against you that, this is the one I have against you, that you have left your first love. This is what has happened. This is very important. They did not lose their love, their love did not lose cold. They left it. The deliberate action. It means it was there. It was there. And they lost it. Why? Why would they or anyone do this? Because they do not think it is all that important. It is all that important to be of that love. There was something more important to them. I want to stop just for a moment. Think about a marriage, husband and wife, and one, male or the man or the woman, so busy working for their husband, for their wife, doing so much, doing this, doing that, there is no love. It finally dies away. That's what happened in Ephesus. They did all that wonderful work. They lost that love. losing that love was all of it. They left spiritual love for Bible doctrine. That's wonderful. Just go back to my illustration of marriage people. The wonderful things that happen, that a woman can do, that a man can do. These are wonderful. But do you love me? They left spiritual love for doctrine. Doctrine is truth. Had to be more important than their loving, than knowing doctrine. Applying doctrine must be most important even to them than love. Doctrine, which is, of course, is important, but it is not as important and is not as important as is your love of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 13:13, but now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, the greatest, is more faith, no. More hope, no. It's love. 1 Corinthians 8, now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but it is love that edifies. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he has done. We'll continue to reading the Corinthians. He has not yet known as ought he know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him. Knowledge of doctrine makes arrogant. It becomes standard to judge others, separating others, elating yourself from others, while spiritual love edifies, unites, bonds, reveals Jesus Christ. Spiritual love edifies, unites, bonds, and reveals Jesus Christ, his love. This principle here is diagnosis of the local assembly at assembly. Read 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, life without love, done none productive, none, no impact. Verse 4 following deals with the definition of love. So there it is, takes our study and understanding the beginning of the church of Ephesus. Now let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, oh God, we want to tell others of Christ. We want to help one another. We want to encourage one another. We want to enjoy one another. But, oh, Father, the most important thing of all is to learn to love Jesus Christ. To love Him in our life, our souls, more than anything else in life. Father, we thank You for this passage. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Christ's name, for His sake. Amen.